Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who breaks the darkness and gives us liberation and freedom. Amen. What might we say about this text, Luke chapter 8, this exorcism of the man named Legion in our text? A man whom many demons had entered. How many? Good question, you might say. How many demons? Well, the word legion, I did a little research on the word legion, and that word, L-E-G-I-O-N, usually referred to a Roman unit of soldiers that had 4,000 to 6,000 members. 4,000 to 6,000 members in a legion. That's a lot of demons. Also, you think about the woman in Christ's ministry who many demons had gone out. You remember how many that was? Remember who that was? Mary Magdalene, yeah. And she had 7 demons cast out from her. I thought that was a lot. And I looked at Legion, I thought, my goodness, 4,000 to 6,000 demons? That might have been. It doesn't say exactly how many, but it says Legion, for many had gone out. And then at the end of the text, a little kind of related thing, do you know how many pigs went down the hillside and into the lake? It doesn't tell us here, it tells us in Mark, in Mark's account of the same text. It says about 2,000 pigs. So maybe there's 2,000 demons, one for each one, I don't know. But either way, it's a lot of demons. While we're on the subject of numbers, I guess in my book, that many demons and pigs and that many pigs floating in a lake, that's a lot of wasted bacon. And that gives new meaning to the dead-end barbecue, doesn't it? What might we say about this text, though? Well, we might say scary. Seems kind of scary. Exorcism, that's a scary word. Demons, scary. And in the text, it has language that says the people were seized with great fear. This man was living naked in the tombs in a graveyard. If I came by the church, went by a couple of churches, and they have graveyards, and I saw a man running around naked, I'd be a little afraid. In fact, they bound him with chains and shackles, and what did he do? He broke out of them, and that's kind of scary too. That's superhuman power. Most people who are bound up can't get out. But this has been reported with other people who have been demon-possessed too. They have superhuman knowledge or superhuman strength. And certainly that seems to be the case here when Jesus comes to this man who, for a long time, it said, had been demon-possessed by this legion, this many. And then the dead pigs floating in the water. If I saw 2,000 dead pigs in the water, I think I'd be a little scared too. That's odd. That's just weird. Pigs just don't run down the hill and go into the water. It's kind of scary. Finally, the word legion, the 4,000 to 6,000 demons, if we study that, think, wow, that's a lot of demons. I saw the movie Exorcist once. It was kind of scary. There's a few demons there. But I think 4,000 to 6,000 demons, that's a lot of demons. That's one reaction to the text, you might say. Just scary, scary, odd. Just we might just dwell there forever. Wow, it's scary. But there's another word here that's more important than scary, and that's Savior. Son of the Most High God. That's what Jesus is called here in the text. And he comes to that demon-possessed man, doesn't he? And he's not afraid. I think of who Jesus is. He's not someone who's afraid of demons. Not at all. Remember the purpose of Jesus? We sang about it in the hymn we just sang. The purpose. This is Luke chapter 8, this demon, this healing, this demon-possessed man. You go back to the purpose of Jesus. In his very first sermon in Luke chapter 4, we hear these words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Here in Luke chapter 8, Jesus sets at liberty one who is oppressed by a demon, demons, legion. And yet he's unafraid. You know who was afraid in this text? Did you hear? Did you look really closely at who really was the afraid ones, the ones who were scared in the text? Not Jesus, but the demons. Did you hear that? The demons were afraid. That tells us something. The demons begged Jesus, "Oh, don't torment us." That's the very first words of the man who came, fell down on his face. He says, "What did you come here for, Jesus? To torment me? Don't torment me." And then they begged him, "Don't send us down into the abyss. Please, please, don't let us go into the abyss, Jesus." And finally, he gives them permission to go into some pigs instead. Shows what kind of authority he has. It says he gave them permission. The one who is in control grants permission. The one who is in a compromised state is the one who begs. Who's the one begging? Jesus? "Oh, I beg you, get out of that man. That man is a I beg you, demons, please get out of get out of him." No, rather the demons are begging Jesus, "Lord, don't send us into the abyss. What are you here for? Are you going to torment us, Jesus?" And Jesus delivers this man from evil. Just like we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Deliver us from evil." And Jesus sets at liberty this man. He cleanses this man of this what's called an unclean spirit. What also might we say about this text? Scary? Yes. Savior? Yes. But another thing, very important in the text, is this idea of staying with Jesus. Did you hear it? The man, after he's healed, after he's cleansed, what does he want to do? He wants to stay with Jesus, to be near and stay with Jesus. With Jesus. In fact, he even uses that language of begged. He begged Jesus, "Let me stay with you. Let me be with you." There's sanity with Jesus. Before, this man was living in the tombs and he was naked. Now, with Jesus, he's clothed and there's life with Jesus. There's liberty with Jesus. You know that song, "Amazing Grace"? We like to sing it. It's a good song. It says, "I once was lost, but now I'm found." Well, this man might say, "I once was legion, and now I'm at liberty." We say in the song, "I was blind, but now I see." You might say, "I once was bound, but now this man becomes a beacon of the ministry of the gospel, the ministry of Christ." Jesus tells him, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away to proclaim throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. Kind of relates to last week's gospel. If you were here last week, you heard about the woman who washed Jesus' feet. You remember what Jesus said about her? Her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. And therefore, what did she do? She loved God much. We who have been forgiven just a little bit, we might not love God all that much. But one who has many sins forgiven loves God much. If you just had one demon and God cast it out, thanks be to God, the demon of some kind of oppression, might be scary enough just in that. You might love God a little bit, that's pretty good. But if you had legion, and you've been cast out of all, every single demon cast out of you, you love God much. And this man went out through the whole city telling how much, it says, God has done for him. What has God done for you? Have you been forgiven just a few of your sins? Has God at baptism just cast out just a few little demons, but you still got some demons still running around in your head? You know, Kate, she's my oldest daughter, 10 years old, at Fort Wayne, when she was born, we had a baptism for her. And in our pastoral agenda, we have an optional rite. We have Luther's old baptismal agenda, and then you have the newer agenda. Both are fine, good, but the old Luther one has an exorcism at the beginning of the baptism. Did you know that? And it says, very simply, "Depart, O unclean spirit, and make room for the Holy Spirit." And then it proceeds with the baptismal rite. It kind of puts in context, if you will, what baptism is all about. And you think about this demon-possessed man, what happens? There's a lot of water there, isn't there? A lot of pigs going down into the water. Why didn't Jesus just send the demons down into the abyss? Why did he have to let all these animals die? That's a good question. It might bother you too. They wanted not to go into the abyss, yet they go into the pigs, and the pigs say, "I know where you need to go." The pigs take the demons down into the abyss. Well, these pigs might have been blessed to be part of the ministry of Christ, you might say. You also might say that Jesus hasn't come to kill the devil, to stamp his foot on the devil, and just get rid of the devil in this world. Rather, the Son of Man comes not to kill, but to be killed. To give his life as a ransom for many, to put himself in the hands of the demons. Here he shows his great power over the demons, and yet in the end, what does he do? He subjects himself to the power of the evil one, gets his hands nailed to the cross, his feet nailed to the tree where he can't move. Although he's got power in his mouth, he could just say the word, and God would send down. Do you remember what kind of angels? A whole legion of angels could come down. What power Jesus had, just by a word, he could just ask his Father, and a legion of angels would come down and get rid of the legions of demons. But Jesus doesn't say that. No, rather he says, "It is finished. Into your hands I commend myself, O Heavenly Father." And in this he shows the great love and the great forgiveness of God, not just to heal a few sins, not just to cast out a few demons, but to forgive every sin and to relieve each and every one of us of every demon. Just so happened to get a book this week. Gretchen's on the Concordia Publishing House board, and they send us some new books, the ones that they're releasing. And there's a new book that says, "I Am Not Afraid," and it talks about spiritual warfare against demon possession, just this week. And it's a case study of the Church of Madagascar, the Lutheran Church in Madagascar, and how they're implementing exorcism as part of their liturgy and their baptismal rites, and it's making waves of impact in that country. And the question is, well, should we do more of that in our country? That's really kind of the thought. Well, Luther had it there all along, didn't he? The baptismal rite. We don't have to add anything new per se, but we do have to do one thing, is believe in the power of the Word of God. Believe in the power of the Word of baptism. Believe in the Word that we heard with Jesus' great power over the evil one, yet he subjects himself willingly to the evil one. He becomes the curse in order that we might be set free, that we might be redeemed, bought back from sin, death, and the power of the evil one, the devil, and live in great freedom. Great peace. And we can be like those disciples, and we can be like that demon-possessed man who was freed. He sat at the feet of Jesus and want to stay with Jesus. And then ultimately we pray that God send us back to our home. Return to your home. And what are we supposed to do? Be quiet about everything that happened? Didn't Jesus tell a lot of people, just be quiet, don't tell anybody about this healing? No, here he tells the demon-possessed man, go and tell everyone. Return to your home. This is a foreign land. There was no Jews, not so many Jews. This was foreigners. Return to your home and tell everyone about how much God has done for you. May that be a model for us. In Christ, because our sins are forgiven, because we love God much, may we go out with joy and tell people how much God has done for me, for you, for the world. Amazing grace, amazing power, amazing peace. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.